Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're completing our series in the book of Daniel. We're going to take it all the way back to Daniel chapter 2. And just in closing, and this message is dedicated to you, but also I pray it would activate all of us in all that God has for us. So just in reverence for the reading of God's word, I'd like to invite us to take a stand this morning. Daniel chapter 2, verses 17 to 23. It says, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And he told them to seek the mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in the vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God, my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your spirit gives us discernment as to how to live in this world that we get to live in. But at the same time, God, I thank you, Lord, that it's your Holy Spirit that walks with us and fulfills us, makes us complete. And I pray, Lord, for a complete immersion, not just in your word, but in your spirit today, that we would encounter you in a powerful way, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. So the series that we are in is called A Light in Babylon. And the title of my message to conclude our time in Daniel is simply this. It's just one word, PIPE. And PIPE is an acronym. PIPE stands for Public Influence, Private Encounter. Public Influence and Private Encounter. One of my mentors earlier in ministry, the founding pastor of this church, Pastor Ken Du, in our times of discipleship when I was living back in Auckland, New Zealand, he would always say this to me, and it stuck in my heart. And if there's one piece of advice that I can give to you from everything that I'm going to share today, it's simply this. The secret to a successful life is the success of your secret life. Say that with me, everybody. The secret to a successful life is the success of your secret. Now, it's not just what happens behind the scenes, but how many of you know that the deeper and darker the society becomes, the more necessary it is for plowing the depths of intimacy with God? John Tyson, in his book, Creative Minority, said it this way: the more secular the environment, the more intentionally prayerful that people became. He gave the example of Esther, who, when at her hands in the kingdom where they were in exile, Esther was the winner of the beauty contest that became the queen. And it was really because of her steadfastness and fasting and praying that the nation saw breakthrough in that environment. I think of Moses, who had such an intimacy with God that the Bible describes him as one who saw God face to face, would meet with him in the privacy of the tabernacle, but then at the same time had the capacity to lead over a million Jews out of the slavery of Egypt into the promised land of Canaan. And now I think about Daniel, and last week and the week before, I know that Samantha, our campus minister, did an amazing job of bringing the word last week. Can we give it up for Sam? Wasn't that great? Talking about the vessels that God has called us to be. And then even the week before, when we were talking about Daniel being in the lion's den, that there's a representation that Daniel was put into, and that we see in the scripture that we just read, where there was such immense pressure for a public persona that represented Christ, even though Christ was not to be born for another 600 years. How many of you know that Daniel lived a gospel-centered life already in exile? But the pressures of the Babylon would call him to either conform or to rebel, to revolt, or to just compromise his faith. And in the same manner, in the same way, we are also facing the same challenges here in post-Christian Brisbane. All right, Daniel chapter 2 says this, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions," his compadres. In Filipino, his pares, right? In Samoan, his usos, right? Like his friends. And we know Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah more likely as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in verse 18, it says, "And he told them to seek the mercy of God from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." See, if we want to survive and thrive in the Babylon of Brisbane that God has called us to live in, then we also need to consider our friendships, because deeper callings require deeper friendships. And I say this to our graduates today, but all of us, you've heard the saying, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future," right? The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, for us to not be yoked with unbelievers. For what does Christ have in common with Belial? The analogy that Paul is giving the church at Corinth is that no matter where we go, if we are yoked in relationship to people that don't necessarily hold to our beliefs and hold to the same convictions, they will eventually reach us. It's a matter of who is evangelizing who. So check the friendships. I'm not saying that, you know, we don't associate with those who don't hold the same convictions, but there's a difference between having an association and having a yoking relationship. Check the closest friends, the circle of 3 to 5 people that you roll with. Oh, when I hang out with this person, I know that they're connected with these people. Who are your boys? I'm in my mid to late 40s now. More on the late side of the 40s. And sometimes when I'm talking to my peers from back in the day, they still act like the boys. You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, we are almost 50. You don't need to be boys anymore. You know, you need to listen to boys to men and actually become men, right? But it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday, right? Charles Spurgeon said, "Keep the best company." Turn to somebody and tell them, "Keep the best company. Be much with those who are much with God." I love that. "Let them be thy choicest companions who have made Christ their choicest companion. Roll with people who love Jesus just as much, if not more, than you." I'm talking about being yoked to people. Your closest relationships, your classmate, your batch, your barkada again in Filipino, right? Like the people that you roll with. When you consider your closest relationships and married people here, I'm not just talking about your spouse, but the people that influence you, your peers, your closest peers, what direction are they moving in? Because that will influence you, whether we like it or not. Let's move on. Verse 17 says, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." And what did he do? Daniel went to his house. The thing about going to somebody's house is you invite them into your space of vulnerability, where you live. When I used to do insurance, I used to work for an insurance company back in New Zealand called State Insurance. Shout out to all my Kiwis who know anything about State Insurance. But I used to work in the claims department and then in the customer services. And so when I'd work there, it was always interesting that they'd call the housing insurance the dwelling insurance, because it's the place where you dwell, where you remain, where you abide, where you live. Like, we can carry a facade everywhere else, but when they come into your living space, they see the real you. That's your real secret place, right? And Daniel went to his house and invited his companions into his house. And what did he do? He made the matter known. So in a sense, he invited them into a place of vulnerability, and he also made himself vulnerable with regards to the information that was given to him amongst those close friends. Are your friends, the closest circle that you roll with, are they the types of people that are trustworthy? Or are they gossipers? They have a tendency to slander and talk to people around them. I know that when I'm around certain people, I know that I can't trust them because I know that they gossip. In Samoan, we have a term called whaikakala, right? Whaikakala means that, you know, kakala means open. You basically open all the information for other people to hear. And then the spiritual whaikakala, they say, oh yeah, so we can pray for them. Or in Tagalog, chismis, di ba? Right? It's like you're like, oh yeah, I just want to tell you the latest, right? Marites, you know, I just want to, Maria, let's the latest. You know, like just share the latest information on what's going on. You know, in Malaysia and Singapore, we call it kepo, right? Kepo means that you're always that person that just really wants to know. Have you ever met a person? I know it's not you, but maybe you've met somebody. They're like the C in the conversation. You're having an A and B conversation and somebody's the C. They're listening in on the conversation. That's called kepo in Malay, right? In Malaylish, right? So, you know, the kepo is like really, really listening in on the conversations that are happening there. But this is the types of friendships that Daniel had. He had, friends that he could trust. Friends that he had been, like Shaka Khan said, through the fire, right? He'd gone through a lot with them. And so he knew that he could make the matter known to them, like the scripture says. And what did they do? They didn't just sit there and gossip even further. They didn't even go into strategy mode. What did they do? They seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. They immediately went into prayer regarding revelation. Because deeper callings not only require deeper friendships, but they require deeper revelation. And they knew that even though these men were wise, they were the leaders amongst their positions, governors and officials within the king's court. Even though they excelled at their jobs, they knew that the wisdom that was required here was a wisdom that could only come from heaven. That deeper callings require deeper revelation. Let me tell you something. In your jobs, your own human wisdom and knowledge will only get you so far. There are going to come times when your company or your sphere of work and employment and vocation are going to come into crisis, and you will be positioned to help advance whatever it may be, whether it's a process or a crisis moment. And as you're sitting and invited to the table, into that conversation, as there's strategy happening, you best believe you can tap into the wisdom of heaven and ask him for deeper revelation. For all my students here, I know we're in assessment mode now and we're in exam mode. I know some of you are finished, and that's why some of you students are smiling more than others. But how many of you know you've sat in an exam and you're like, Jesus, right? How many of you know that that's the worst time to train against a robber who's already in the house is when he's already in your house, right? But like asking as you're studying for the wisdom of heaven, deeper revelation. So deeper relationships, deeper revelation. And then lastly, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. And God changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. Wow. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God, my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Now here's the caveat that should tie it all together. I started by talking about the times that we're living in. And these three things that I'm sharing with you, the third one I'm about to share with you, are so required of Christians, Christ followers, here in 2023 in Brisbane. So the first one is our relationships, our friendships. Secondly, deeper revelation. Thirdly, deeper callings require deeper convictions. deeper convictions. Now, I'm going to show you this beautiful mural that's overhanging the entrance to St. Basil Orthodox Church in San Jose in California. Now, you may be familiar with these murals. We've talked about these images over the subject of these images at least, over the last 6 to 7 weeks as we've been delving into the book of Daniel. On the right-hand side, obviously, you see the angel, which is actually, we know as a Christophany, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are cast into the fiery furnace. And of course, Daniel in the lion's den. Now, we may not see ourselves physically in a space where our convictions will lead us to physical lion's dens or physical fiery furnaces. But how many of you know the Christian faith is under attack here in Brisbane, Australia, here across our nation right now? And I love when the father of this congregation was talking about why they put these artworks on the walls. Here's what he said. So it's logical to conclude that since Nebuchadnezzar put Daniel and his friends in positions of authority over the Magi, Daniel lost no time at all in utilizing their considerable influence upon the rest of the wise men. Consequently, Daniel must have filled the Royal Babylonian Library with a generous collection of all his beloved Hebrew scriptures. As head of the Magi, he would have ensured that the rest of the Babylonian Magi were educated in the Jewish prophecies regarding the king to come. Wow. The most important king who would ever live, the coming Messiah. The Old Testament scriptures are full of prophecies about the birth and life and death of Christ, who would follow some 600 years later. Here's the caveat. Here's the part I love. Thus, beginning 600 years before Jesus was born, the Magi were made intimately aware of God's prophetic plan for the coming King of Kings. Imagine how far ahead God set this plan in place to arrange for non-Jews to eventually be amongst the first people in the world to recognize the arrival of the King of Kings. Isn't that powerful? Because some may think, okay, why are the pictures of Daniel and his friends in this church? Isn't the center, you know, didn't Israel write the song, Jesus at the center? Like, isn't Jesus the center? But it's the prophetic nature of this is the entry point of how Christ came to us, and the first people to recognize his kingship apart from Mary and Joseph were these men who had studied the lives and the teachings of Daniel from the Old Testament. And 600 years later, there was such a rich understanding that these men were actively looking for the sign of the coming king, whether it was through the interpretation of the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar and Darius, or whether it was just through just them being constantly aware that they are in a time, but there is a coming king. How many of you know there is a coming king? But we can get so caught up in this life that we probably miss it in our Babylonian time here in 2023. So deeper friendships, deeper revelation, and deeper conviction. The last thing I'll say is this. The only way that people around you are going to know is if they see it up close. The power of proximity, if they can see the deeper friendships that you have as you offer yourself in generosity and hospitality in your workplaces, in your schools, in your third spaces, but especially in your homes. If you can develop deeper friendships, if you can develop deeper relationship, revelation in the private place, if you can develop deeper biblically based convictions, you will be the salt and the light of the world that God will use for his glory. Now, this week is Samoan Language Week. It's just come to an end. Nganapa Samoa. And around my neck here is what we call a ulafale. And although it may not mean much to other cultures, this is generally worn by those who hold high positions and chiefs. I'm not trying to say I'm all that, but like, I was a bit disturbed earlier this week. Maria, I was doing research and found that you can buy one of these for $40 online. It's basically a dried fruit, and then it's dyed and painted red. It's not really much like significance to it, But we've got to ask ourselves, what makes precious metals precious anyway? And I think about that, and I think about the tatau, or the tattoos that a lot of our chiefs wear. Generally in Samoan culture, there's two lanes of prestige in terms of their status. You've got the whaife'au, or the clergy, and then you've got the chiefs, the matai. Now, I'm obviously of the whaife'au. Ke iawa whaife'au, alea ingi whaife'au e whai, right? But the point I'm trying to make is, we can wear things ornamentally, or we can have the tattoos. I've had conversations with guys that have embraced titles. They are chiefly titles that are issued by our villages back home in Samoa. You can have those. You can even have the tattoos. I often get asked the question, why don't you have the tattoos that, you know, all your Samoan people wear? Why don't you have the tattoos? I just say, you know what? You don't put a bumper sticker on a Lamborghini. I'm just saying. But and it can be, you know, like, but the reason why I bring this up is that there's a lot of questions around authenticity. Now, whatever culture you come from, and in our culture, culture plays a huge part, to the point of idolatry sometimes, where we idolize our culture and see it as a means of salvation sometimes. And I'm not standing here and saying that this, the Christian God that we follow is off any particular ethnicity. It's interesting that Jesus chose to intersect time and history right at the border of the three biggest continents of Asia, Africa, and Europe, choosing specifically Israel as his point of entry into history. Why? Because he's impacting all cultures. But the point I'm trying to make here is that what makes me a Samoan? I'm proud to be Samoan. Is it my capacity to be able to learn and speak our ngangana, our language, in spaces? Is it because I wear, you know, have tattoos, or because I wear this $40 lei, which actually holds high value in our culture, but doesn't really hold much value elsewhere? It's not until people come into proximity with me that they can see and hear and taste, you know, because I'll cook them Samoan food, or try to, or at least I'll go down to Sears and buy it. You know, like to be able to see my Samoan culture. Now, take that to another level. How many of you know in the scope of the culture that we have here, whether you're here from Korea, you're here from Indonesia, you're here from Tonga, you're here from parts of Africa. I know we've got Zimbabweans and Zambians in the house. You're here from Australia, just the straight up Oka. Like, it's best experienced. The essence of who you are is best experienced up close, in proximity. And so the reason why I bring this up is that when people come close to you, do they experience the Christ in you? Do they actually see that you live and breathe the gospel? Does it ooze out of your life? Or when they are up, when they see your life up close and you are under pressure, does other aspects of your life? I'm not talking about trying to be perfect. I'm talking about even how the gospel rescues you as a sinner, saved by we're saved by a perfect God as imperfect beings. That even in our imperfections and our stuff ups, we quickly run to the gospel and see how he's rescued us. See, this is what Daniel understood. So that when the character was brewed so much in the secret place, that when people came up close to Daniel, they saw that this is the living God. So much that it affected history for 600 years to come, that the Magi were ready to receive the King of Kings. The people in Israel, who were supposed to be the people that believed God, they were missing it completely. God chose to bring shepherds and kings to come and arrive at his birthplace. Let me ask you, when people experience you, the essence of you up close, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to have it all together, but we worship the one who is altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to us. So as I close here, I want to ask you this question. Does your public faith match your private faith? To my graduates here today, I really want to encourage you. This is just the beginning. We should be asking ourselves, okay, how do I take what I have learned to impact society? How do I take what I've learned whether it's starting a life group, whether it's getting active in discipleship and discipling the next generation, whether it's starting something in your community amongst the sphere of influence that you have. I mean, earlier this week, I was having conversations with Giuliano and just talking about how we can impact the, you know, where the Brazilians are in our city. I'm really excited to see this batch and all of you who have graduated and will eventually do leadership, our leadership school, being launched into society. But let me ask you, does your public faith match your private faith? Why or why not? I'm going to pray. And maybe this is a point where God is also moving you towards a deeper private place, deeper level of intimacy. That is the invitation. And if that's your desire, maybe you're feeling a little dry and your desire is to go deeper in intimacy with God, in prayer, in companionship with other believers that you know will help you grow. Then today, let today be the day of activation. So I want to pray right now. Father, I thank you for this moment that we can come to you in the authenticity and the vulnerability of our hearts and recognize that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we're thankful for your grace towards us. Lord, that we would see our lives as not just what we can get out of the finite amount of time that we get to walk on this planet, but God, that we too, like Daniel, can be used for your glory in changing history for generations to come. Just every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you're receiving this invitation from the Holy Spirit to say, yes, I want my public faith to ooze out of a new level of depth of my private faith, and I want to go deeper with Jesus, and I'm committing to go deeper in his word, to go deeper in discipleship relationships, to go deeper in my convictions towards him. If that's you today, I want to invite you just to lift your hands so I can pray for you today. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for each person who's here, has their hand lifted today, Father, I want to pray that by your Spirit, as you're leading them to go deeper in you, Lord, to be the salt and the light of the world, Lord, that you start inside them, transform them and change them from the inside out, help them to find their true sense of identity in you and your gospel. I thank you. You laid your life down so that we could have life and life in its fullness. I pray against the temptation towards compromise in this generation, that we will be public in our faith through our generosity and hospitality and being able to convey the gospel in our living. So in Jesus' name, right now, I just pray you would bless the witness of everyone with lifted hands in this place. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.